Sewer Ninjas is dedicated to solving your home sewer issues with the latest no-dig sewer repair technology to minimize cost and disruption. They can repair your sewer lateral line with minimal intrusion, saving you thousands. When you need help, turn to the drain and sewer experts for Milwaukee and the surrounding communities. Give Sewer Ninjas a call, 414-250-8605. Once again, that's 414-250-8605. Find out more at sewerninjas.com.
For a reliable, locally owned and operated auto body shop, turn to Mako Auto Body Shop and Painting in New Berlin. They fix routine dents and dings along with structural repairs. If your car has been damaged in an accident, you can count on their expertly trained technicians to provide high-quality work. Plus, all structural repairs are backed by a lifetime warranty. Go to Mako.com for more information. That's Mako of New Berlin. The Bucks get a new head coach. Super Bowl 58 is set. Wisconsin just keeps rolling. Marquette with a nice win. And the Brewers pick up a first baseman as pitchers and catchers get ready to report just around the corner. All of that coming up on this episode of the 414 Sports Podcast, presented by Sewer Ninjas and driven by Mako of New Berlin. Let's go. But instead, it's the 414 Sports Podcast, and it starts right now.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, welcome in. This is the 414 Sports Podcast presented by Sewer Ninjas, driven by Mako of New Berlin. I'm Don Wachilis. Thank you, as always, for having us kick off your week on this Monday. It's a busy weekend looking backward and a crazy weekend looking forward as the Bucks get their next head coach. Super Bowl 58 is all set up and ready to roll. Both Marquette and Wisconsin get some nice wins as they get to really a tough spot within their own schedules, and the Brewers get a first baseman. So we've got a lot to get to on this Monday, but we're going to kick things off with the Milwaukee Bucks, who picked up their next head coach after firing Adrian Griffin. And Doc Rivers had his welcome home press conference on Saturday. This is what the introduction of Doc Rivers sounded like from Saturday's presser.
We talked a few days ago about identifying a coach that could lead and maximize this team's talent in a window where we have a real chance to compete. And, you know, we found Doc, we talked to Doc, we went at it with urgency as we talked about, and it's my honor today to be here and sit with Doc and introduce him as the next head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks, Doc Rivers.
Well, hello, Milwaukee. You know, it's great to be back. You know, it took me a while. I will say that. But for me, in short, I'll let you guys ask the questions about the team and stuff. Just personally for me, being back here is a dream. I think about Rick and Al and Hank. This is where I learned really most of my basketball knowledge. You know, I came from three geniuses. I really did. I mean, they taught me basketball. They taught me life. Rick taught me all the restaurants in every city. So it's just really cool, being in a arena, like coaching in an arena and your jersey's hanging above you. I can turn to the players and say, guys, I swear to God, I played basketball. Just look up. I swear that's me. So it's really cool.
All right, so that was Doc Rivers being introduced to the media on Saturday at Fiserv Forum as the next head coach of our Milwaukee Bucks. Doc Rivers, 62, in essence, returning home. Had an unbelievable career at Marquette, as he noted in the introduction. number hanging from the rafters. I've got another clip we're going to get to in just a moment where he talks about the fact that he was a little upset that he never had the opportunity to play for the Bucks. I think Milwaukee was one of maybe two or three teams that I think he would have answered the phone, and in this case did answer the phone, when inquiries came about whether or not he wanted to return to the bench. When you look at the Bucks and you look at the team just from top to bottom, with the likes of obviously Giannis and Dame and Brooke Lopez and Chris Middleton and Crowder, and you can go through the entire list. This is a veteran team. This is a team with a ton of talent, and it's a team that tried to bring in a rookie head coach in Adrian Griffin, and it just didn't work. It just didn't work. A rookie head coach mixed with all that veteran talent, the message wasn't happening. And you could see that for anybody who has watched this team from start to finish, as far as this season has gone, you realize that there were too many times that everything looked disjointed, whether it was offensively or defensively. It just never meshed. That does not necessarily speak to the fact that Adrian Griffin is a bad coach. Adrian Griffin was put into a situation, again, where the chemistry didn't mix. He didn't have enough credibility from the veterans on this team to do the types of things that he wanted to do. So Adrian Griffin will get his salary for the next, 4 years? He'll be paid handsomely, and he can regroup and find another ball club that will, in essence, take a chance on him. Because I think in the right mix, he's going to be successful. This just wasn't it. And to anyone who spoke about Adrian Griffin, just talked about what a quality human being he was, that wasn't the case as far as him being, I don't know, you want to call him a jag, whatever adjective you want to throw in there. This is a good guy who was given an opportunity, and the situation and the timing just wasn't right. So the Bucks had to go look for someone who's got, in essence, a little more credibility, who's been around the block once or twice. And I get, you know, Giannis and Dame and these guys now, they're in the midst of change, so there are all kinds of questions. And there are all kinds of questions from the outside looking in, knowing what Doc's history is once you get to the playoffs. But I'll talk about that in a little bit, because I don't think this situation, there are parallels with some of the experiences he's had in Philadelphia and some of the experiences that he's had with the Clippers. And again, we'll get to that in just a moment. Here's another excerpt from the presser on Saturday. Doc talking about what it feels like to be coming home.
It's hard to express emotionally. And from afar, and I've told John this is one of the places that I've always had circled in my life, if I could ever, you know, play here. I was pissed at Don Nelson for years because I thought he was going to draft me. I think he drafted Randy Brewer, and I'm just still pissed by that. It was the right choice at the time, I guess. So I never had the opportunity to play here. And then when I started coaching, I'm not here if I don't go to Marquette. Bottom line, I really believe that. Not only just the Rick, Hank, and Al, but the professors. I wasn't the greatest student when I came to Marquette, but I left a hell of a student. That was not my plan. I wanted to skate, and it was not allowed, and it changed my life. So coming back here to a place that changed me as a literal person is a dream.
So that, again, is Doc Rivers at his opening presser on Saturday. And let me get to what I was alluding to before the clip. The questions arise, again, from many of the national pundits about Doc's acumen when it comes to the playoffs. And this is a team made, as you heard John Horst in the intro talk about the fact that this team has been assembled to win now. This is not a team that's, you know, hoping for a couple of breaks, that the horizon looks really bright, and it does, but it's meant to win this year. It's meant to win next year. the window right now is open, and you've got to take advantage of it before it closes, because you don't know at any given time when such a window will shut on you. And so you bring Doc in, and then, of course, the national pundits, again, who were questioning the fact that you fired the second winningest coach this season in the NBA, start talking about, well, you know what happened to Doc when he was with the Clippers, and you know what happened to Doc when he was with Philadelphia. Well, look at some of the teams that he had, and Doc alluded to it a little bit further in a couple of his comments later on in the presser, in that he was brought into the Clippers. He was brought into Philadelphia to build culture. Culture is already here. This is more about X's and O's. And Doc can coach. But think about what it was in Philadelphia. Yes, it collapsed. Yes, there were many cases in which he was a game away from going to either the conference finals or the championship. They had a lead, a series lead, and they couldn't close out. But would the Bucks have been able to close out a couple of years ago on their way to the championship if you had James Harden and in Game 7 just shut it down, just looked totally disengaged? Would you have been able to win with all of the Ben Simmons hubbub that was taking place before even James Harden walked through the door? There were some teams that Doc was asked to take control of that, quite frankly, were nothing short of a hot mess. They were a hot mess. The personnel didn't mesh. And he was asked not only to do the X and O's, but he was asked to make sure the foundation didn't crumble in the midst of the playoffs. That's not going to happen here in Milwaukee. The culture is set. This is a good coach who's coming home, who's got something to prove, who knows what to do with the X's and O's, and he's got a team that's not going to quit on him. Giannis would never allow anyone on this team to pull a James Harden. That would be a security camera footage highlight that I would love to see, if a James Harden was sitting in a Bucks locker room doing the, I don't know if I want to play anymore kind of a thing in the midst of a playoff series. So the culture is set. I think they've got the right guy. They brought Doc home. The scenario is set for this team now. Once they get out of the All-Star break, it's going to take a few games. There's going to be some questions that get put into play as Doc tries to implement what he wants to do on both ends of the floor. So don't think that as soon as Doc puts on a shirt and tie and sits on the bench that this thing is going to be off and running. It's going to take a few games. But fortunately for Milwaukee, sitting at a comfort zone, so to speak, with regards to their record, you can afford yourself that little bit of turbulence until you hit the ground running and start implementing all of the things that Doc wants to do with this current ball club. I think it's a great hire. I think it was the right move. As much as I disdain the fact that we now have fired a coach and what that means for he and his family, I'm not pleased with that. But on the other hand, it's not like you and I getting let go of a job. He's going to get paid handsomely to land on his feet and figure out what his next move is. That part of it I don't like, but I do appreciate the fact that the Bucks realize their window is now. We have to take advantage of that window, and I think Doc Rivers is an excellent choice to help get that done. All right, so the Bucks will head to Denver. It'll be Doc's first game. We're putting this together on Monday. It'll be his first game tonight. What a way to kick things off is they'll take on the Denver Nuggets, one of the hottest teams in all of the NBA. So we'll see how Doc's first game goes. All right. Also, over the weekend, Super Bowl 58 is set. We'll touch on that after we take a quick timeout.
For a reliable, locally owned and operated auto body shop, turn to Mako Auto Body Shop and Painting in New Berlin. They fix routine dents and dings along with structural repairs. If your car has been damaged in an accident, you can count on their expertly trained technicians to provide high-quality work. Plus, all structural repairs are backed by a lifetime warranty. Go to Mako.com for more information. That's Mako of New Berlin.
All right, Super Bowl 58 is set and ready to go between the Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. Watching both of those conference championship games yesterday,
there's a lot you can take away, you can unpack. And unfairly, I think for Baltimore, a lot of it is going to fall on Lamar Jackson. But there were too many things that took place in that game against the Kansas City Chiefs to put it all on Lamar Jackson. Yes, he made some mistakes. Again, quarterbacks get too much credit and too much blame when it comes to wins and losses in the NFL. It's unfortunate because I thought the Baltimore Ravens had everything set for them. They got Kansas City on the road. That's not something the Chiefs are used to. You're in your home park. You've got the defense. You've got a potent offense. You've got one of the best special teams in all of the NFL. Everything looked favorable for the Baltimore Ravens, and yet you can never doubt the Kansas City Chiefs. Andy Reid continuously gets that team prepped and ready to roll. He does things offensively as far as scheming goes to get his players open. For instance, Travis Kelce. I mean, everybody in the building knows that at some point Patrick Mahomes is going to go to Travis Kelce. And yet at one point, Travis Kelce was 10 for 10 for over 100 yards receiving and wide open. There were a few contested, but there were many of those where he was wide open. And it's mind-numbing because even the casual fan sitting on the couch at home knows, who do you got to cover with Kansas City? It's Travis Kelce, and yet there he is running across the middle wide open. And that goes to Andy Reid's genius as far as what he can do schematically to get these players open. And it was just, it was unfortunate. I really thought we were going to get Baltimore and Detroit. Now, to really say I really thought, no, that's what I had really hoped for. I would have loved to seen Baltimore and Detroit find themselves in Vegas for Super Bowl 58, but that was not to be. And then on the other hand, you look at the San Francisco 49ers and how similar that game was watching it with the Detroit Lions to what the game was just a week ago with the Green Bay Packers. You had a Lions team that came in that essentially was playing with house money, right? Nobody really, except that part of your heart where you hope to see the Lions make it, you know, the first time in the Super Bowl with a chance to win their first Super Bowl, the rags to riches story, the whole thing that could have been written with regards to them. They played with house money in the first half. They were loose. They were carefree. You saw them make big play after big play, defensively shutting down the San Francisco 49ers. And yet, when you come out of halftime, much like with the Packers, suddenly the old sphincter got a little bit tighter, and that's when veterans step forward. And you could see that the moment wasn't too big for that veteran-laden San Francisco 49er team. And what can you say about Brock Purdy? Too many people want to say, Brock Purdy, oh, he's just nothing but a game manager. I'll take him as a game manager. That young man was calm, cool, collected, did what he needed to do to bring the 49ers back in the second half. Now, I'm going to make this analogy, and I'm not doing it from maybe a skill set personnel or even a winning percentage at this point. But Brock Purdy yesterday looked like Joe Montana incarnated in that 49er uniform just from the coolness factor. Like, there was never a moment, again, in that second half, trailing the way the 49ers did, that he looked nervous, pressed, frustrated. He keeps that same demeanor. He reminds me a lot of Jordan Love, that it's hard really to tell how things are going when you just look at them on the sideline, because they maintain that same demeanor. Inside, they might be, you know, churning 1,000 miles an hour, but you don't see it on the outside. And he just kept doing what he needed to do to will the 49ers with some great throws, some unbelievable catches where we saw the ball bouncing off of Detroit and hitting in the face mask and all of the things that Ayuk did there down the stretch. The ball had to go their way, and it did for San Francisco. In the second half, the ball just didn't go in the Lions' favor, but a lot had to do, again, with that veteran leadership that we saw with the 49ers as they'll now make their way to Super Bowl 58. It'll be the ninth rematch in the history of the Super Bowl.
it's only been, what, 4 years that Kansas City and San Francisco clashed in Super Bowl 54. So we'll get that rematch and the fact that we're going to have a potential back-to-back Super Bowl winner, which we haven't seen in quite some time. I think it was the New England Patriots the last time we had back-to-back Super Bowl winners. So we've got a ton of storylines, and we got 2 weeks to talk about it. Before 2 weeks from today, we'll be sitting down and talking about what Super Bowl 58 looked like in Vegas. All right, we're going to take another quick timeout. After the timeout, let's talk some college hoops as both Marquette and Wisconsin continue to impress. We'll get to it next.
Sewer Ninjas is dedicated to solving your home sewer issues with the latest no-dig sewer repair technology to minimize cost and disruption. They can repair your sewer lateral line with minimal intrusion, saving you thousands. When you need help, turn to the drain and sewer experts for Milwaukee and the surrounding communities. Give Sewer Ninjas a call, 414-250-8605. Once again, that's 414-250-8605. Find out more at sewerninjas.com.
All right, college basketball alive and well here in the 414 and the state of Wisconsin. Going into us putting this podcast together today, we're still waiting for the latest AP poll to be put out. The Badgers and Marquette sitting right next to each other in the top 25. Wisconsin at number 13, Marquette at number 14. Again, that will change later today when the AP releases its new top 25. But you've got two teams now who are playing extremely well. And the one team right now that I just don't believe is getting enough recognition, especially nationally, is the Wisconsin Badgers. 16-4 overall after they beat Michigan State on Friday, 81-66. It's the first time in I don't know how many years that the Badgers have swept the Spartans in the regular season. And it was a game on Friday in which the Badgers completely dominated the Spartans. There was never a time in that game, even in the second half, when Sparty was trying to make a little bit of a run and get it into single digits. Wisconsin just kind of held their ground. They were in a position, it seemed on Friday night, of complete and utter dominance. There was no way Michigan State was going to get themselves back into contention with regards to that ball game. AJ Storr continues to impress. He had 28. He couldn't miss on Friday, even though there were a few shots that didn't go in. But I'm telling you, he looked incredible. Stephen Kral had 15. He went 6 of 9 from the floor. This is such a well-balanced and athletic ball club, something we're not always necessarily used to seeing with the Wisconsin Badgers. But my goodness, it's going to have to be one of those instances now where somebody really has to take heed of the fact that this Badger team sitting in first place in the Big Ten right now is outperforming Purdue, which they'll have on Sunday. That will get tested. They'll also get tested on the road at Nebraska this week. Nebraska, terrible on the road, perfect at home. So the Badgers have an opportunity to give Nebraska their first loss at home. So again, two games this week that will really test my theory of the fact that the national media needs to be paying more attention to this Wisconsin Badger team. Wisconsin has now won, 9 of its last 10, 15 out of its last 17. And I will say this, there's going to come a point here where, and we're going to talk about Marquette here in just a hot second, that St. John's comes into Fiserv Forum for that Big East matchup. What I need is a Wisconsin donor, somebody whose checkbook is a bit unlimited, to buy a 30-second spot at Fiserv Forum during a timeout where Jack Jakubowski, the PA announcer, will read it, right, in the midst of a timeout, and it's a thank you to Rick Pitino. A thank you to Rick Pitino for, in whatever your basketball wisdom is, didn't think AJ Storr fit your program. You let him go into the transfer portal, and my goodness, he has been such a breath of fresh air for the Wisconsin Badgers. So, you know, A, it's a nice dig to Rick Pitino in the midst of them playing Marquette. I mean, I would love for Marquette to hand out t-shirts with AJ Store on it for their student section. I know that's not going to happen because it's Marquette and you're not going to necessarily hype Wisconsin, but talk about the ultimate dig, or just make sure that you allow the student section to bring in those the big heads and they're all of AJ Store and just show it to them at every single waning moment. What a great dig that would be. But I think the better option is to have that Reed commercial, whatever you want to call it, during a timeout, just to poke Patino a little bit when Marquette plays St. John's. That I think would just be spectacular. And let's talk about Marquette, who got a nice win on Saturday in all of the hubbub with Doc Rivers being introduced in the back of Fizer form as the next head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. Shaka Smart was getting his 14th ranked team in the country ready to take on Seton Hall. They get a 75-57 win. That coming off of the fact they beat DePaul on the road 86-73. Next up, that will be tomorrow, a Tuesday night. Again, as we're putting this together on Monday, they'll be on the road at Villanova. And then next Saturday, they're on the road as they take on Georgetown. So again, the Big East, like the Big Ten, doesn't get any easier, in this case for Marquette. But Marquette, after winning now two in a row, starting to stack wins again. And check that, make that three in a row. Four in a row. Basic math. Which is four in a row now. So Marquette again stacking wins so that you start getting that momentum going as you get into February, right? We saw too many times, again, under a different regime, not under Shaka's regime, where the team played well, and then once you started to make that stretch run towards the Big East tournament and then the actual big dance itself, this team wasn't in sync and playing the way it should. Let's hope now that they start stacking wins the way we thought Marquette would do from day one. They've been a team that started very well. They've kind of gone through the doldrums a little bit, and hopefully now they've worked themselves out of it. Again, winners of four in a row, but Villanova and Georgetown on the road this week. And then again, keep an eye on the AP Top 25, which will be released later today, and see where both Marquette and Wisconsin end up. All right, we're going to finish today talking a little baseball. Pitchers and catchers are right around the corner, and the Brewers made a move. Was kind of good. Let's see what we have here. Let's get to it in just a sec. All right, so the Brewers made a signing here over the last week and a half, whatever it was, because you mix it in with the Packers playing the 49ers last week and all of the storylines that came from that. And then next thing you know, the Bucks are firing their coach and hiring Doc Rivers. This story probably didn't get as much notoriety as it should have. But again, the Brewers picking up Rice Hoskins, who was a free agent, formerly with the Philadelphia Phillies, 2 years, $34 million. Rice spent the entire 2023 season on the injured list with the Phillies because he had a tear in his ACL that took place during spring training, and he just never had the opportunity to find his way back on the field due to that injury. But prior to, in the six seasons with the Philadelphia Phillies, he averaged 30 home runs. His OPS was 25% above league average. So the Brewers found some veteran leadership and offense at a position that has been sorely needed here over the last 4 or 5 years. And now you mix a Rice Hoskins with some of that young talent that the Brewers are starting to push through the pipeline. You have an opportunity again to have some hope for this Brewer club again with a new manager. There's just going to be a lot of new things taking place at American Family Field. It was a time when you used to have to buy a program to figure out who was there. I know now we just open up an app, but you get where I'm going with this. It has the potential, again, to be a really exciting year for this Milwaukee Brewer team. Before you know it, pitchers and catchers are reporting. We'll have spring training. And then in a blink of an eye, we'll be talking about opening day and the Milwaukee Brewers as we make our way into summer. That will do it for this episode of the 414 Sports Podcast, presented by Sewer Ninjas and driven by Mako of New Berlin. I'm Don Wachilis. Have yourself a great week. Enjoy some college basketball as we got a bit of a hiatus before Super Bowl 58. Be safe. We'll talk to you next week.